Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Josh, pump fakes once, fires down the far sideline, caught into the end zone, touchdown, John Brown! John Brown, touchdown, Buffalo! Welcome back to the lineup, John Brown. The Bills score again, and Miami has nothing to say about it. The snap, Allen looks to his left, fires left side, in going to the end zone! Stephon Diggs makes the catch! Touchdown, Buffalo! Touchdown, Stephon Diggs! Lamar Jackson back to throw, guns it into the end zone, intercepted! 2 yards deep in the end zone, intercepted by Taron Johnson, and he brings it out, and he's still on the run. He may go all the way. He's at the Baltimore 40, the 30, gets a block at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Taron Johnson goes 102 yards with an end zone interception, touchdown Buffalo!
Here's the snap. Josh looks right, steps away from pressure again, fires it now on the run, caught by Beasley at the 10, headed into the end zone, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! Cole Beasley. Revenge is a dish best served cold.
25-yard field goal try for Tyler Bass. The snap is good. The hold is good. The kick is up. The kick is good. It is good. The fireworks go off. The Bills go back to the playoffs for the fourth consecutive year. This crowd is going crazy. I'm John Murphy. Thanks for listening. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, thanks for being with us today, taking in the news that John Murphy will no longer be calling Bills games. It's these calls and his play-by-play career that I would say, I think safely, he is best known for. But whenever I think of his career, it's the talk show host that I think of, really. Yeah. I mean, I'm in here with you for post-game shows or at the stadium, and I'm not often listening to the broadcast. We hear the clips like the next day, usually. But because, like, just the timing of it, growing up in the 80s when he was on in the evenings, I would say that his show, and I think you would say the same, was, like, inspiring to wanting to be in this profession. And I can remember fondly listening to one-on-one sports.
Yes.
Right? In the 80s and calling in. And just, you know, that's what I think of. You know, then getting to know him a little bit and having him be on with us as he was for a few years there at the end of our show each day before his. A lot of memories.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot that show when he was hosting the show that is now One Bills Live. He did do some of that in the afternoon, but yeah, for when it started, it was after our program ended. So 6:45 every day was Murph. That's right. That had slipped my mind.
And incredibly, it was also us.
Yes,
that was amazing. Right. A long time ago.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm like you. I mean, one-on-one sports. I mean, I feel fortunate to have had the opportunity for just a couple of years to sort of carry that torch after Murph left WBEN full-time, WBEN radio full-time. Howard Simon stepped into his role, and then I came in and worked with Howard for a while, and then Howard left, and I just got the whole thing, 5 hours, and I was barely like a year into doing this for a living, and it was a lot.
And your dad called.
And my dad called. And I felt a responsibility. I would stop short of saying it was intimidating, but I felt like I needed to do a good job because of Howard and Murph. And Stan Barron. I mean, I never met Stan Barron, but I remember hearing his show before, you know, Murph took that show over. So, yeah, like you, I mean, and the TV broadcaster, you know, Channel 7 for a long time and then Channel 4 eventually. So, like, the Bills are, of course, woven in there. And I listened to plenty of Murph doing both jobs with Van doing color commentary and then play-by-play. But, yeah, I think of him as a multifaceted broadcaster. And someone who was great to me when I first started out, and I'm still grateful for that. Walking into BEN as an intern in the summer of 94 and eventually staying on as a part-time employee in the fall of 94 and working on the Bills games. Yeah, I wouldn't see Murph on game day, but he was coming in there still once a week to do Monday night shows. Monday Night Quarterback, he did a show with Larry Felser that carried on for a while after he had, of course, left his full-time gig there. And even after Howard left, Murph was still doing a Monday night thing for a while there. And he was great to me as a broadcaster. Very encouraging, very positive, like someone who very early on made me feel like I can do this. You know, like Murph is supportive. Like I hope he's not just being nice, because he, you know, it meant a lot to me at the time to have someone that, you know, at that time, I mean, he was already like, the king. Ed Kilgore was maybe the dean, right? But Murph was a name, and he was someone who I really looked up to before I even had interest in getting into business. So to meet him and have him, you know, help me along, give me advice, whatever, just listen to me, was really, really great.
Yes, I'm remembering now meeting him for the first time at the arena after I had moved back to Buffalo and started my show on FM. And he was in the press box, and so was I, and we met, and I was, you know, very excited, right? Because I had looked up to him like I had. He had, you know, of course, a great voice, commanding presence, and also I was a writer. I wanted to do a certain kind of show, like, you know, to be thought of as professional. And I always thought of him as professional and good. And so meeting him there, you know, he has that way that you feel like he's always smiling, you know, sort of a jolly kind of, you know, demeanor or expression. And I said something probably like, I've been a fan of yours a long time. And he said, well, I've been listening to you. You sound good. I'm like, really? Right. I remember just totally not expecting him to say he was listening.
Yeah.
Which, you know, may have been true. I probably, you'd like to think so.
Sure.
But you know, a guy who knows how to pay a compliment.
Yeah.
And I just remember that really, really well. So,
yeah.
Hope he's okay.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen him since last August. I bumped into him leaving a Jason Isbell show. I've seen Murph and his family at numerous Isbell shows. It's one of these little things, like, for me, that I find very fulfilling when, like, someone from this world is, like, into something that I'm really into, you know, that has nothing to do with this. And it's funny, like, it reminded me today, like, thinking about, you know, that encounter last August and seeing him at a few other Isbell shows, one in Canandaigua quite a few years ago. It might have been his first time seeing him. And I remember talking to him before he was going to go see him, like, what's he like? What's sort of, you know, because his albums, Isbell's albums, can be kind of quiet and almost really sad. I'm like, dude, he's a scorching guitar player. You have no idea what you're in for. And sure enough. Anyway, one of the very first things that meant a lot to me from Murph was him complimenting the music choices that I used on the nighttime show, particularly on Friday nights. I had this, do you remember, excuse me, working nights. I you know, I'd watch a lot of late night TV. I'd get out of work at 11 o'clock and be watching whatever until 2 in the morning sometimes.
Like 90s?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And there was this ad that ran for a 2-CD set called like Classics from the Roadhouse or something. It was all this sort of jump blues and just blues stuff that I was not familiar with much at all. But the every song in the ad caught my ear. I saw like, this is all. So I ordered it. Like I called the 900 number or whatever and bought the thing. And that was Friday nights is those bumpers.
Do we need to further explain what any of this means?
Yes. CDs. Late night TV.
A phone number.
A phone number to order.
This is totally lost on me.
And would there be a box that would be at the place where somebody was like at a workplace and they would put the music in a box and send it?
Yes, I believe that's how it worked. Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's you're right, because Zach, I think, has no idea what I'm talking about. Anyway, I loved, like, I thought that was a perfect Friday night sort of feel for the show. And one of the first compliments Murph ever paid me was, man, where do you get that music? It's great. I love the Friday night bumps. I'm like, wow, that means a lot to me, because I put probably more thought into that than I should have. It mattered a lot to me. I'm such a big music fan. I wanted the music to be representative of what I listened to. I wasn't that worried about whether it appealed to the audience. Like, this is my show. My name's on it. I want it to be what I like. And that was...
That must be nice for you. Because when I did that, this is not okay. You can't just play the 6 feet under theme.
Right. Anyway, I remember Murph complimenting me about that. I doubt that he remembers it, but I do. And that meant a lot to me.
It has to have a broad appeal too.
Yes, that helps. Yes.
I can't just play Thomas Newman.
Not good if you just like it.
Yeah. No. But. Well, that must be nice. You have that talent.
And I think everyone who cares about the Bills and has cared about Murph as a broadcaster at all, I mean, I just felt so terrible for the timing of what happened to him with the stroke. I mean, it was easy to sort of get lost because so much like that happened the day or two before Damar Hamlin.
Right.
And so all of a sudden Chris Brown is in the broadcast, but like, oh my gosh, what happened to John? And you know, the Bills are so good right now. They've been so good right now that I really, really wanted, because Murph was not on the mic during the Super Bowl years.
No, he was before and immediately after.
Right.
But the 4 years the Bills made the Super Bowl in the 90s were the 4 GR years.
Right. So that was...
How about that?
I know, right?
That's why they came back.
That was Greg Brown and Mark Stout for a while, and I'm not sure who else. But anyway.
Ed Rutkowski, Pete Weber.
Murph was not a part of it at that time.
The booth for 51-3. Ed Rutkowski.
Yeah, wow, okay.
Mark Stout, Pete Weber. Some 3 of the 4.
Okay.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah, it's you fine. Had it. So, you know, it's just horrible timing. You know, I mean, they're so good right now, and he's, you know, loved that team, goes back to the AFL days with them, and to have missed out on, you know, this, I don't know, so much of Josh Allen's career. I mean, he got the first few years, and I'm just bummed out for him for that, like, you know, professionally and personally.
And Van Miller, by the way, I should say, in case it seemed like I didn't know. I remember I listened to those games. You know, even still, I have copies of those radio broadcasts. 51-3, when I had a phase where I was having trouble flying, one thing I tried was to listen to that game. It was like a 3-hour flight to Denver, maybe, or something. So I just sort of timed it. So the whole flight, I would listen to that game.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, this is not about John Murphy. One thing about that broadcast, I may have mentioned this to you, the touchdown to... You know, 21-3 tally, the tally touchdown, like the moment where, okay,
we're killing these guys.
We're going to kill these guys, and this is it. So the pick six by Tally, Van just nails it. Tally, you know, interception, touchdown. He just nails it. He was just, you know, incredible. And the other guys start to talk, I think, or even before that, somebody corrects Van, says it was Conlon. So Van corrects himself and says, it's Conlon, actually, on the interception. And then there's other analysis. And, like, you know, now, listening back, you know it wasn't.
All right.
So what happens next? And Van gets back. He might have even interrupted somebody. You hear him go, it was Tally. Right. Like this, like turning around. You know, come on, you better be right.
Yeah.
If you're going to correct him, you better be right.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, the fact that Murph was there for so long, but you know, so much of it was drought. Just kind of, it bums me out for him. I mean, you know, obviously he's still around. He hasn't passed away, thankfully, so he'll get to enjoy it. But, you know, from the perch, you know, from the spot with the headset on, being the voice of the team, you know, he made it through a lot of really lean years, some with Van and then as the play-by-play guy. And then here, okay, here comes the reward. They're really good, and they're going to be really good for a long time. And then whammo, man, just brutal, brutal timing for him.
Well, we send our best, and we'll welcome any, you know, fan comments, remembrances, different things over the course of the day. But the news, of course, this morning that he'll no longer call Bills games. We're going to talk to Sal later. That'll be at 5, and, of course, we'll talk to Sal about John Murphy and other things. Tomorrow is the first day of rookie minicamp, and I reached out to Sal today about coming on. And, you know, he's sort of like, what do you want to do? And I think I, maybe it's just me, I doubt it. I would enjoy having a conversation about all the draft picks not named Keon Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
And Keon Coleman. But,
sure, yeah.
Like, Keon Coleman, for me, was the entire Bills draft. Like, that was the thing they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting how they did it. And it's interesting who he is and whether it's going to work out. There wasn't ever a second wide receiver like we've been over and over. And so rookie minicamp, it's all of them, not just the draft picks. I think that could be good to talk about him and the other guys, because some of these other guys may end up
really mattering.
Mattering a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible. We'll see. One of the things that I know Sal has talked about, even in advance of them drafting Cole Bishop in the second round, the safety, has been like they like the veteran presence back there. Like Hyde and Poyer were 4 years into the league by the time they get here in 2017, and then they're there. You know, I mean, they're just there the whole time here, and now they're both gone at the same time. So, you know, there are veterans here. Taylor Rapp is here, and Mike Edwards has been brought in from Kansas City on a modest one-year deal. So there's experience there, but, like, Bishop is maybe just an idea at this point. But from the minute they picked him, I thought, like, man, everything I'm reading about him just sounds like a perfect McDermott safety. So I don't know how open the door is for him to earn a starting spot, but he's – easily for me. I mean, it's tough because he's the second, you know, most prominent pick, second round pick. But yeah, I'm excited about him. And I'm also excited about the center. I brought him up a few times, and I know it's a fifth round pick, but he's only the fourth center picked in the draft and played them all for Georgia in the SEC. So I feel like there might be a player in there too. And I've seen him lauded a few different, I mean, so much content about the draft, but some analysts I've read been asked, like, your favorite pick from each round of the draft. And Van Pan Granger has showed up on that list more than once. Like, fifth-round pick, this is my favorite fifth-round pick. This guy's got a shot to be someone who ends up starting games.
Van Pan Granger, is that all going to fit?
It's going to be tight.
It's going to be tight. I might, no offense to you or him, might have to root for Bills to beat him out.
A little easier fit there.
Among the offensive linemen. Well, easier fit and Bills. I mean, I'm rooting for Keaton Bills. Sal better be ready for a lot of questions about Keaton Bills.
He's not a center, is he? Is he a center?
Offensive, I think guard.
Okay.
Offensive line.
Yeah, close enough.
Guard or tackle.
Close enough. Guard is almost center.
It is so almost center, you're right.
It's right next to it.
The guy I think about the most is Ray Davis from the rest of the draft. And I'm of two minds about it. Well, at least two. I certainly don't have any problem with when the Bills picked their running back in this draft. They didn't need to pick it even as early as round 4, I would say. I mean, I don't think it was necessary exactly, but eventually you're going to do it, and there were guys going, so no criticism really for me on that. He was, in whatever my research amounted to, he was a name I had thought a lot about, not for the Bills necessarily, but just like of the running backs. Everybody knew it was not a year where running backs were going to go at all early. And most of the guys, you know, you only had a couple who were going to be drafted early enough that you're looking at maybe starting roles. Davis is not among them. But he is kind of a compliment to Cook physically. Which is not the only way to do it,
mm-hmm.
but it sort of is a logical way to do it. And just, you know, why I was thinking about him, or why he was somebody I was aware of, was that people that I look up to that spend a lot of hours on analyzing college players were impressed. And some of those guys, again, in the context of it's not a good year, like, it was interesting. He was interesting to me. And his life story is very interesting to me, too. So I wonder what's available. I learned a lesson last year about the Bills and running back, or maybe any team, because in our conversations with Sal, all my fantasy podcast stuff, all those guys, I get calls from all those guys, oh, Buffalo, let's get Mike, and we'll ask him. And I told them all Damian Harris. Like, Damian Harris was, I was drafting all kinds of Damian Harris and really didn't give Murray much thought the whole offseason, but I always thought, like, he was really good. And sort of the PFF numbers, led the league in touchdowns 2 years previously, Damian Harris. Like, to me, that was going to be an upgrade. I never liked the Cook idea, so put my chips on Damian Harris. But the one thing, and you, I'm sure you were, like, saying this to me every time, but I just couldn't. Like, the one thing that was really hard for that argument was that they invested a draft pick in Cook. Like, he was their guy. That Singletary left, and he was left standing, second-round pick. Enough people liked him. They liked him. That's always the most important thing.
Right.
And I would talk myself into, like, well, do they really like him? I mean, what did he actually do? Anyway, I missed the point when it came to Cook, that no matter what I thought or PFF thought or anyone else thought, they were going to be with him. And, you know, not the, like an injury.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
An injury is always waiting for you, and that changes things no matter who
sure,
gets hurt.
Yeah.
But would performance ever sort of flip that? And it probably would have had to be pretty dramatic. And Harris would have had to stay healthy, which has always been hard for him.
Yeah.
So anyway, long way to go to say it's probably still Cook, but I'm curious to see what they'll give Davis.
Yeah. I wonder, because style-wise, I definitely think it's – I mean, Cook had – 1,100 yards rushing, almost 500 yards receiving. I mean, he had a very good year. He produced. Now, you know, somebody with that workload should produce. You know, I mean, he was on the field a lot. He got a lot of touches. So it's not like he was prolific, but I think he was very good. So to me, there's no question. But style-wise, maybe Davis is an answer for Josh Allen at the goal line. Like if he's stout and thick and sort of physical, that style guy, Cook is none of those things. And so maybe that's an opportunity. So, you know, despite being just a rookie running back, maybe he gets on the field and vultures touchdowns or something. And that's, you know, that's a role that should matter.
From Allen.
Right, from Allen.
All right, let's take a break here. 803-0550, you want to talk about the rest of the draft class? Of course, we're not turning you away if you want to get into the Keon Coleman pick or anything of the sort. And John Murphy, as we've talked about that story here a lot already. We will have Matthew Collar today on the Vikings and the draft and the Bills. We'll talk to Sal, as I said already, at 5. 803-0550 to join us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
Lamar Jackson back to throw. Guns it into the end zone. Intercepted. 2 yards deep in the end zone. Intercepted by Taron Johnson. And he brings it out. And he's still on the run. He may go all the way. He's at the Baltimore 40. The 30 gets a block at the 20. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Taron Johnson goes 102 yards.
2020 playoffs. The memorable, to say the least, Taron Johnson interception return against the Ravens. That year, that was a really, I mean, I consider myself very, the radio calls, sports highlights are all very important to me. I'm a tough critic, and how they sound, like everything about it, I'm sort of like a super geek for it. Like I could write thousands of words on any one of these like famous calls and just sort of what happens, you know, what's said, what's not said, everything. I want to think about all of it. And that year was so tough because there were no fans, and you just can't have great calls without fans, even if it's on the road. Like there's still a mm-hmm. A din. There's still a sound to it.
Yeah.
And you have a small number of road team fans. You know, you hear something. That game at least 6,000. Had some people there. And it doesn't sound too – it's not too jarring like the rest of that season.
No, it doesn't sound as out of place as you might think it would with only 6,000 as opposed to 10 times that amount. Right? Like, that always stood out. That highlight, even the day after, I remember watching the highlight and just thinking 6,000 people can make that much noise. Like, it didn't sound that different than if there had been, like I said, 10 times the amount of people there. So great job by the 6,000. And it does make that. I'm glad that's a highlight we're using because it's a great call. It's a very memorable. Maybe I heard Brownie and Tasker on the way in, like I often do today. And talking about his memorable calls, like that's got to be right at the top. I mean, it's such a big spot, like the opponent, the playoffs. The only thing missing is a full house, but at least you do get some representation from the fans. So, yeah, I mean, it's a play that'll go down, I think, in history until it gets surpassed by some play that leads to them winning the Super Bowl, I suppose. Like, you know, it's a playoff win, and it's a huge play in a playoff win.
It's interesting how the years, like what happens after, how important it is to what, you know, how a game or a play is remembered too. Like, you have to keep winning or else it's sort of a, right. it's, I think it would be hard for fans 4 years later to, I had to think about it for a second, like to know which was which year, like what year is this? The no fans tells you, like, if you remember that. But all right, this is Baltimore. This is 2020, where they lose the AFC Championship the next week. This is their one divisional round win through all of this. Like, their only one is that Baltimore
right,
game.
That's right. Yeah.
Which I remember best for Justin Tucker
missing field goals.
How it was so stupid out there that even Justin Tucker went 0-for-2, or he made a field goal later, but just like. There was a, after one of his misses, I was not at the game, after one of his misses, the camera was on him, and his face was just like, what? No, what do you mean no good?
Right.
I kind of know when it comes off my foot.
I know how I hit it. Right.
What do you mean no good? It was such a struggle. Both teams in that game, and that by far is a signature play. Like, what's the second most famous play from that game? I don't even know. I think there was a Diggs touchdown for the Bills touchdown to go ahead, and then that 17-3.
Yeah, I mean, with Baltimore poised to go in the end zone and to get that play, I mean, it's just a huge swing. Jackson ends up getting hurt shortly after that, and like that's it. Like, that was their look at it. You know, if they score there, who knows? Maybe we're sitting on, you know, a whole streak of not winning a divisional round game. Well, a longer streak than we are as it is.
I remember Collinsworth. Lamar Jackson just never sees him. Something like that, he said, as they're running the highlight. Let's go to Stan here. Hi, Stan. Stan, hello?
Yeah, hello. I'm sorry. I just was driving around when I heard about Murphy retiring today. And it kind of touched a nerve with me because we've, you know, with Simon retiring, and I'm just a few years older than you guys, and I remember when, you know, Felser and Carucci and Art Wander and Coach and all those guys were, you know, everything was so much bigger then, you know, and it seems like now with all these guys retiring and the way it is with streaming now, and I'm not in my car as much anymore. And then it's like I lost a chunk of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the Bills and the PSL, I'll never get to see a game anymore. And the Sabres are going to be raising their prices. And, you know, it's going to streaming for the playoff games. And it seems like everything is just going downhill now. I don't know if it's just me or how you guys feel. I remember when you guys were just cutting your teeth in radio and, you know, calling in to say and hello and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, to me, a very sad day thinking about all this.
Thank you, Stan.
I appreciate that, Stan. And yeah, there's been a lot of loss here recently. I mean, I don't want to leave anyone out and just start ticking them off, but I mean, RJ passed away. You've had Coach just pass away pretty recently, and you know, Murph is not passing away, but he's done doing the thing that you know him for, and there's comfort in that. Like, I've always appreciated that about this job, not to put myself on that level, but you know, we have a relationship with some of you, not all of you, but some of you. It comes through, and I know the people that have done it for that amount of time, to that legendary status, like the people I just mentioned, mean a lot to people. So it's tough when they go. You gotta maybe make some new friends, find some new companions. But yeah, the landscape is vastly different. There are dozens of people who do exactly what we do, just not on the radio. And that wasn't the case 20 years ago. Like, 20 years ago, having a show like this, like, that was the only place to find this sort of content. And if you didn't like it, tough. But there's a lot.
I miss those days so much.
There's a lot of options out there.
Who
now
are all these other people?
There's a lot of people doing the gig. So I don't know. It's all on YouTube or streaming in some way. So, if you're looking for it on standard radio or TV, yeah, you might have a hard time finding it.
Thanks again, Stan. Zach is next. Hello, Zach.
Hey, guys. So this was brought up on the morning show, but I kind of want to bring it back up again. I don't remember a ton of Murph's calls outside of the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, obviously, much of them wouldn't have been for memorable games, of course, for many years. But I always really admired the way he could set the scene before these games. It was like a minute or two before kickoff or what have you, like right when the broadcast would start. It was just so like poetic and thoughtful. And, he could turn a Week 5 game against, like, I don't know, your least favorite team, the Arizona Cardinals, I guess, into something.
Yes.
That seems so meaningful for some reason. And you get excited about a game that, otherwise might not matter that much. So, I think there's such an artistry to that that gets overlooked sometimes by people. They think of these guys as just broadcasters. They're calling the plays, but Murph is trying to tell an honest story here sometimes, every time. And I always thought his little setup for the games was just so good. If there was a compilation of that, I would listen to it.
I'm stop thinking the same thing, Zach. Do you have any that stand out to you? Because I have one that I remember it mostly because I texted Murph right after I heard it.
Nothing in mind, but the winter games for some reason always kind of ring a bell to me, where you know, using certain words to describe a colder setting. Nothing comes to mind at the moment,
No, I share that with you. As it would turn out, for many years here, while I would be driving in here on a Sunday, that would coincide with like Murph that part of the broadcast when he would sort of begin. And I heard those a lot, and I always liked them a lot. The one that I'm thinking of that it might be the only time I ever thought to text him afterward was just prior to the opener against the Rams, the road just a couple years ago, because the Bills were this up and coming. It was like a Hollywood thing that he did, and I'm not going to try to mimic it at all here, but it was just Hollywood story being written. It was really, really good.
Yeah, I very much appreciate that point, that compliment. That's a great compliment give to a broadcaster.
I think it's the kind of thing that a person in that job probably devotes an inordinate amount of time and energy to, and maybe someone would tell them, like, dude, it's just a minute. You don't have to, labor over this, but you could tell it meant a lot to them.
Just like you with the music.
Right.
There's no such thing as, there's nothing so small.
Right.
That you shouldn't want to do your best to perfect it.
Right.
I remember him one time, I didn't hear very many of those, but I'm sure the caller's right, talking about hope. Maybe this is the middle of the drought and, hey, everybody's 0-0.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And I thought it was an excellent point and perspective at the start of whatever season that might have been. All right, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Matthew Collar coming up in about 20 minutes. Wanted to get Matthew on before he got hired by an NFL team like Eric Eager did. I feel like that's probably just imminent. I don't know. But Eric Eager, who's been on with us a lot when he was with PFF. In fact, he's a whole chapter in Matthew's book about PFF. And then he went to Sumer Sports, and we've, you know, Eric's always been, hey, Eric, can you come on at four? Sure. You know, he's very easy like that and generous. And he got a job. Yesterday was announced. He's going to the Carolina Panthers. I mean, if ever a team needed Eric Eager, the Carolina Panthers. So I can't wait to see what happens, you know, like.
Does that mean we don't get to get him on anymore?
I think so. I think so. I mean, we're not probably going to get him to come on and talk about Diggs.
Yeah. And it's a little bittersweet then. I'm happy for him.
But yeah, it's mostly bad.
It's sad.
It's mostly bad. There goes a great guest. But how about that? I mean, he's not the first by far.
Right.
He's not the first PFF guy to go. The offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans was at PFF. Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator in Atlanta now, was at PFF. And he was a quarterback, then with McVay. So, like PFF Bobby Slowick. So, they're different in different sort of departments and different forms of analysis. But Eric was a math teacher before he got into football analysis. And now he's got some
analytics
highfalutin
job,
position with Carolina.
The nameplate on the door and everything, probably.
That's probably a team he's been destroying like everybody else for a long time. I would love to know. If Matt's up for another book, I would love to read a book on Eric Eager getting that job. Good for him. So we've got Matt coming up at 4, and he just had a conversation on his Purple Insider podcast with the GM of the Vikings, who that was like with Kwesi, right? That's his name,
yep.
Adolfo Mensah. Pretty well-respected GM, and Matt had a sit-down with him. Anyway, so Matt Collar and then Sal Capaccio coming up later on. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at 803-0550. This is WGR. Welcome back. Matt Collar, Sal Capaccio today. Sal again tomorrow. Paul Hamilton, too. Rochester, Game 5 against Syracuse tomorrow night in Rochester. Also tomorrow, Scott Barrett, Fantasy Points. Scott has not been on our show, at least with me here, in years. But he continues to be, I would call him, like a leading voice in statistical analysis. Like many of these guys we bring to you, there's a crossover into fantasy. Aaron Schatz is at Fantasy Points now. And Scott, I think they're at the same site. I don't, that's the site that Scott is at. And it was his numbers that scared me off of Brian Thomas Jr. and A.D. Mitchell and Keon Coleman, but we were kind of already off of Keon Coleman right. Whenever that was, like maybe early March, and to the point where I just never really almost at all thought about him until Ryan Fowler.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the day of the draft.
And a couple weeks before that, who both times
right.
Brought up Coleman, like I think he belongs in the first round. And it's okay, but Scott will be on tomorrow, and he can explain maybe why people who are scared about this are. And that goes for Jacksonville fans in terms of Thomas, who was drafted even earlier. And Colts fans, Mitchell, although the Colts got the discount, like 20 picks later or whatever ended up being for A.D. Mitchell.
Right.
So that's tomorrow.
You're right. You haven't been. I have him on every time you're not here.
Yes, Scotty. He co-hosts.
I'm on speed dial with Scott.
He is one of the best, I think. When we had him on two or three times and we had phone issues, I remember.
I don't recall.
But he reached out to me last weekend just to say that he has a friend in Buffalo, and he heard that we were using his stuff, and he was just thankful. And I'm like, wow, that's really awesome to hear. You want to come back
on?
He's like, I'd love to. So that's going to be tomorrow.
Did you ask him if his phone's going to work?
No, I'm fingers are crossed. Fingers are crossed. His friend, perhaps right now, is warning him. I don't know. I don't know who his friend is.
Well, I don't recall this being a problem, but you know, if it's someone you're closer to and you've been booking, it's the kind of thing you might like. If I've been like, I'm the Nick Bakay guy. If we were getting Nick on and his phone was messy, I would feel responsible for that. Like I would remember that. Whereas somebody else, I don't remember at all.
I would say Al Michaels for me is this. Oh, it better work.
Right.
If I'm going to promote Al Michaels,
sure
it better work.
He better call when he says he's going to call.
And then the last time Al Michaels was on, it was like he was flying in from L.A. It would have been the Buccaneers game. he would have done here, right? Thursday night?
Okay, yeah.
And he was flying in from L.A., and he was going to land at like 6 o'clock or something. And he's like, you know, if I can do it, I'll do it. I'll call you if I can do it. So that day, he called my cell phone, and we were on. And I did what I will do 100% of the time I ever, like everybody else anymore. When you get a number you don't know, you just, you know,
right.
Nope, decline.
Just kill it, right.
And then, remember this? You, I think, were at home that day. You were on from home that day.
Okay.
And like a minute went by, like, uh-oh, I think I just remember, I think that was probably him.
I think I just hung up on Al Michaels.
It didn't have his name, it just said the number. Right. I think that was probably him. Okay. Sal later, the schedule, we all kind of thought it might be tonight. It's not. It's Wednesday of next week. But I have prepared my primetime week one schedule. It's not. I'm going to want to change it, but like where I'm at on it as of now. There's one problem with it. I don't have a New York team on.
The first weekend?
In prime time. What would the odds be that either the Giants or the Jets get one of the four primetime games? Three of the teams are already known out of eight. We know it's Kansas City. The Giants are not going to Kansas City. They're not on the schedule. Green Bay at Philadelphia is the Friday night. Right. It's new this
Brazil,
year.
Brazil, right.
We don't have Sunday or Monday. And it's only two games. One Sunday, like always, and then one Monday. I think. What are the chances the Jets or the Giants get one of those games? It's not going to be 50-50, is it?
No.
But it's decent.
The Jets, I think, still should be, will be, pretty highly regarded. The Giants, I mean, it's New York, but I feel like the Giants to get a primetime week one game, there would need to be two games on Monday night. Then I might like their chances. But if they're going to just one game, I would rule the Giants completely out and think the Jets have got a look at it because, you know, they should be a contending team with Rodgers healthy. And even if they end up not being, it's still a very interesting team with Aaron Rodgers.
Apparently, Peter Schrager is at NFL Network.
Mm-hmm.
Guesses the schedule like this, and he put the Giants on Monday night at Pittsburgh.
Hmm.
I like the Jets at Pittsburgh more.
That just made like a throw up in your mouth
game
face.
Ever.
It would be bad. They were on Monday night not that long ago. I remember having Barkley, and Barkley couldn't get 1 yard in the game. Like it was just impossible for him to do anything a few years ago. Steelers at Giants was a Monday night game. To start the season. Sal later, we'll do some of that with Sal. Matthew Collar next. This is WGR.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.